SalesApe, the AI sales rep built to give small businesses the unfair advantage of closing more deals. If you generate over 50 leads a month but can't reply instantly, you lose deals. SalesApe will be your hidden superpower. Used by hundreds of real estate agents, construction companies, and service providers, and backed with $20 million from top investors. SalesApe is doubling sales for hundreds of businesses just like you. Your own AI agent instantly qualifies inbound leads, engages high-intent buyers, and books appointments 24/7, even when your team's off the clock. More sales, less overhead. Sales on autopilot. Go to salesape.ai/podcast to try their free demo. Again, that's salesape.ai/podcast for a free demo.
The T-Biz Podcast delivers T-News that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
He nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that heals and energizes the body while soothes the mind. Transforming the leaf requires a fusion of artistry, craftsmanship, and commerce. The tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts a global influence, generating $260 billion in sales and employing millions to enhance the well-being of all. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Tea tariff relief will likely cause a shipping logjam. Kenya suspends Rainforest Alliance audits, and a West Bengal conclave promotes tea for youth. Plus, progressing towards premiumization. Jason Adams first noticed the overall shift towards premiumization as a retail manager at Teavana in Atlanta, Georgia, the Lenox Square Mall location across from the original Elephant Tea Company, inspired a retail venture with an impressive turnover of $200 million, employing 5,000 people at more than 300 U.S., Canada, and Mexico tea stores. Quote, "My retail experience gave me perhaps the most impactful perspective on actual tea customers," he says. "Connecting face-to-face was invaluable." Jason retained his zeal for specialty tea as head of global tea at Starbucks after the company acquired Teavana, and now at Wollenhop, a legendary German tea supplier founded in 1881. Jason, the new CEO at Wollenhop Tea North America, shares his insights on specialization in achieving retail excellence. He also comments on consumer trends, including the ongoing matcha craze, and emphasizes the importance of service in sourcing quality teas. In memoriam, Ranbir Sen, ex-chairman of J. Thomas & Company, passed this week. He was 79. During his decades-long tenure at J. Thomas, the world's largest tea auctioneer, Sen played a pivotal role in modernizing operations and maintaining the firm's leadership through several periods of significant structural change in global tea auctions. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
Reducing unprecedented tea tariffs for 90 days is sufficient to resume tea shipments from China, but it remains unclear when bulk deliveries will arrive. U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer announced on May 12th that the U.S. tariff on Chinese goods would be reduced by 115% to 30%. China also agreed to lower its rate from 125% to 10%. The two sides canceled 91% of tariffs on each other's goods and suspended another 24% for 90 days, starting May 14th. During that time, U.S. importers receiving Chinese tea will pay 37.5% duties. Tariffs on shipments valued at $800 or less sent via postal services will be reduced to 54%, with an option to pay a flat fee of $100 per item. An increase in the flat fee to $200 per item has been canceled. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said, quote, "The consensus from both delegations is that neither side wants a decoupling," end quote. However, every U.S. trading partner faces a July 9th deadline as reciprocal tariffs ranging from 20 to 50% are enforced. President Trump suspended reciprocal tariffs on April 9th. Negotiations continue with Vietnam, Japan, India, Sri Lanka, and several other tea-producing countries targeted for high reciprocal rates, according to USTR. The U.K. has agreed to an undisclosed lower rate. Importers seeking to avoid punitive reciprocal rates must land containers within the next 10 weeks. Tea at sea on July 9th is subject to tariffs increasing to 50%. Major tea trading partners include Vietnam, which faces a 46% reciprocal tariff, Sri Lanka, a 44% reciprocal tariff, Bangladesh, a 37% reciprocal tariff, Switzerland, a 31% reciprocal tariff, India at 26%, South Korea at 25%, Japan at 24%. Kenya is no longer listed. Countries in the European Union will pay 20%. Light volume first harvest teas often travel by air, while second flush teas from China, India, Sri Lanka, Japan, and Korea are shipped in bulk. The total time from harvest to departure is approximately 4 to 7 weeks. Importers anticipated rising tariffs and stepped up orders in November, but a massive surge was not evident until the Trump administration announced rates for tea that increased from 7.5% in January to 37.5% in February and to 152.5% in April. First quarter totals compiled for USDA's GATS data set indicate that the total volume of tea imported from China increased by 55.6% compared to the same period in 2024. The average price for imports declined by 22.3% to $4.28 per kilo, primarily because most of the tea in stock was harvested in 2024. The tea that was most in demand was Chinese green tea. Imports rose by 70% year-over-year, accounting for 41% of the year-to-date volume. Sailing cancellations are badly timed. Transit time from China and Vietnam to U.S. ports on the West Coast ranged from 15 to 25 days. The lead time for bookings is 7 to 14 days prior to sailings, which typically depart weekly or biweekly from major ports. In early May, around 29% of sailings between China and the West Coast were canceled, leading to a 70% reduction in capacity. 10 blank sailings took place in the last week of April, cutting capacity by 28%, with more anticipated from May 12 to 18. Carriers who switched to smaller vessels and suspended routes last week are now preparing for a massive influx of shipments. Flexport writes that, quote, "In light of the 90-day U.S. trade agreement, demand from China to the U.S. is expected to surge. Given existing backlogs and the lead-up to the peak season, we'll likely see a major increase in shipping volumes," end quote. Kenya has suspended Rainforest Alliance audits at 54 tea factories, citing high costs to producers with little compensation for smallholders. Kenya's Agriculture and Food Authority released a circular calling for the immediate suspension of audits following a May 8th meeting with senior Rainforest Alliance representatives attended by Kenya Tea Board and Kenya Tea Development Agency executives. Agriculture Principal Secretary Dr. Kiprono Rono halted audits and new certifications at all factories, including independent producers, quote, "pending further joint resolution of the matter," end quote. Rainforest Alliance is a global nonprofit organization that promotes sustainable agriculture, forestry, and responsible business practices. The IRA mission advances, quote, a triple bottom line that balances the needs of people, planet, and profit. Certification costs for a Kenyan tea factory producing 5 to 15 million kilos of green leaf range from about $2,900 to $3,200 per year. In 2017, Unilever was praised for certifying Lipton-owned Kericho Estate as Kenya's first large-scale Rainforest Alliance-approved tea plantation. Other suppliers soon followed, eventually leading grocers to insist on more stringent ethical and environmental standards. Even low-priced market leader Walmart has a Rainforest Alliance label on its store-branded tea. Today, buyers supplying tea to North America and Western Europe view voluntary sustainability certification as table stakes. Rainforest Alliance, Fair Trade, and eco-friendly labels are essential for grocers stocking premium selections. Consumers pay 10 to 20% higher prices to retailers prioritizing traceability, social responsibility, and environmental compliance. Quote, however, the reality is more complex, end quote, writes Kenyan tea marketer and trader Christine Simon. Quote, industry insiders have noted that some buyers in these very markets often demand certified tea at the lowest possible prices, rarely offering a premium that reflects the actual cost of compliance. This contradiction puts producers in a bind. They are expected to meet rigorous sustainability standards, but are not adequately compensated for doing so. End quote. Kenya is evaluating the feasibility of certification by a local nonprofit with lower compliance costs, like Trustee, India's Sustainable Tea Foundation's program. Business Insight. Tea growers confirm certifications are essential to attract top dollar buyers. Quote, they may swallow that cost initially, offering you a deal the first time, and then cutting contract pricing to commodity levels, explains a veteran tea and coffee grower who pays for multiple certifications. Quote, we sell at a premium, but it is not clear how the cost of certifications is allocated. It is not visible, and there is overlap. We're already complying with Rainforest Alliance standards for audits by Fair Trade, Organic, and other sustainability certifiers. Unlike single-day audits by certifying agents, I prefer the buyer see what I do by visiting anytime they wish. A two-day conclave hosted by the Indian Chamber of Commerce of North Bengal to promote tea to India's youth brought together industry leaders, innovators, and changemakers nationwide to reimagine tea as a next-generation consumer and lifestyle product. Marketing expert and filmmaker Prahlad Kakkar, who delivered the keynote, was among several featured speakers at the May 1st and 2nd event. Growers and tea brand owners, including Lakshmi Plantation CEO Rudra Chatterjee, presented 50 teas in virtual and in-person tastings. There was also a make-your-own-tea demonstration, 5 business sessions, and a techno walkathon celebrating the spirit of tea and wellness. Quote, Prahlad Kakkar's session was a standout. Sharp, nostalgic, and full of perspective, it took us back to the roots of storytelling and why brand thinking matters, writes the ICC Secretariat in a Facebook post. Quote, it feels like we've created something that will be remembered for a while. Umang Mittal, the chairman of ICC North Bengal, said, quote, ICC has been positioning North Bengal as a vibrant business hub. It has hosted events for collaboration, innovation, and new sector opportunities. The Tea Conclave was an effort to bring the tea industry closer to youth, new markets, and future-ready thinking, end quote. Gopal Damia, chairman of the ICC's Tea Committee, told The Telegraph that annual per capita tea consumption in India is around 780 grams, lower than in many tea-producing countries, signaling an opportunity to increase domestic consumption. Quote, the conclave was designed to celebrate the diversity, health benefits, and innovation that tea now stands for, he said. Bijoy Gopal Chaturvedi, president of the Confederation of Indian Small Tea Growers Associations, said conclaves are necessary to explore how we can have more tea drinkers in our country. Quote, many don't even know the origin of the tea that they have, a lot could be done to encourage tea drinking across India, end quote. Biz Insight. Lakhan Tea founder and director Rajiv Lakhan praised the gathering's energy, ideas, and engagement. We wish to repeat these events and take a step forward with tea culture and tea education, he said. Quote, a cup can't satisfy the consumer until a healthy bush and a well-fed worker tills the land, he said, emphasizing the appropriateness of the event theme. Sip the change, brew the future. And now, a word from this week's sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas, and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish, N-I-S-H, at nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
Jason Adams first noticed the overall shift towards premiumization as retail manager at Teavana in Atlanta, Georgia. The Lenox Square Mall location across from the original Elephant Tea Company inspired a retail venture with an impressive turnover of $200 million a year, employing 5,000 people at more than 300 U.S., Canada, and Mexico stores. Quote, my retail experience gave me perhaps the most impactful perspective on actual tea customers, end quote, he says. Connecting face-to-face was invaluable. Jason retained his zeal for specialty tea as head of global sales after Starbucks acquired Teavana, and now at Wallenhaupt, a legendary German tea supplier founded in 1881. Jason, the new CEO at Wallenhaupt North America, shares his insights on specialization and achieving retail excellence. He also comments on consumer trends, including the ongoing matcha craze, and emphasizes the importance of service in sourcing quality teas. Jason began his career in tea as a teaologist and later a store and category manager at Teavana in Atlanta, Georgia. Founder Andy Mack recognized him with the Spirit of Teavana Award in 2013. When Starbucks acquired the pioneering specialty chain, Jason moved to Seattle, where he worked in brand management and sourcing. In 2022, he was named Senior Manager of Global Tea, responsible for sourcing and developing tea-based beverages across the company's global network. Jason joined Wallenhaupt as North American CEO in September 2024. Hey, Jason, it's raining here in Winnipeg, which sure beats more April snow.
It's a sunny day in Seattle, so you can't complain.
Congratulations on your role as Chief Executive Officer at Wallenhaupt Tea North America. You began your career in specialty tea as a part-time teaologist. Later, you managed a Teavana store before working as a corporate buyer after the company was acquired by Starbucks in 2012. You had a front-row seat as Teavana expanded to 397 retail locations and transitioned to a top consumer packaged grocery brand and in-store favorite, generating more than $1.5 billion in annual sales.
So I started my tea career in retail, about as close to the bottom of the ladder as you can get, taking out the trash and giving out tea samples. That was a fantastic education in realizing just both the scope and the breadth of variety that customers are looking for. And so anything from somebody that, you know, came in looking for the fruitiest of sweetened iced teas all the way to, you know, single origin, first blush Darjeelings or Assams, Ceylons, and everything in between. It's really easy for brands to get focused on either a target customer or some, you know, vision or prototype that they have in their mind, I think it's important to consider the range that's out there, but also know who you're trying to appeal to and stay true to your own values, right? And so I think, you know, to your point, the customer is definitely going to vote with their wallet. I've always tried to, you know, subscribe to the philosophy that the customer is always right. I'm a, you know, Southern boy at heart and grew up in Atlanta. And so, you know, we were taught our manners, and that was always something that I was encouraged to consider, treat people fairly, treat people with respect, and they will do the same in return. And so throughout my career, I've always tried to be understanding and considerate of wherever a customer is on that journey, right? There's no judgment. There's no thief snobbery. People are going to come into this thing at various places. The trends will always change, whether that's something because of Instagram and just social media, where, you know, suddenly visuals and colors and inclusions are driving more of it than perhaps even flavor in some instances. Being able to recognize those trends, adapt, but I think also staying kind of true to your own core and what your identity is. It's an important balancing act that you have to do, especially as a brand that's dealing directly with customers. All the consumer research I've ever seen, brand is usually one of the biggest decision points for customers of whether they will actually pick a product up and buy it, right? They have to have brand trust. I've seen what it takes behind the scenes to build up that trust, and it is an incredible amount of work and diligence that has to happen every day, 24/7, because you have to get it right every time, or that one time you mess up might be the end of your reputation or of your brand potentially. And so I think quality around knowing your sources, knowing your partners, having a proven track record, right, of people that you've worked with, who you know can deliver a consistent, clean, safe product. If I were personally saying, you know, what do I care most about? I think either, you know, just watching kind of the shift to regenerative agriculture, seeing how that can maybe be commercialized or organized a little bit will be interesting to see. And if that becomes maybe the next round of what organic was kind of originally intended to be. I think also, you know, again, kind of knowing where your products come from, the transparency, traceability, working with partners that are open to sharing that type of information, I think builds trust, builds confidence in where it comes from.
Let's examine the market for green tea. Health is undoubtedly a leading trend. We've observed a notable spike in sales worldwide since the pandemic. The U.S. currently accounts for half of Japan's tea exports by value. In Europe, the green tea market is valued at $3.85 billion in 2024 and is expected to grow by 7.1% through 2033. Last year, matcha, valued at $915 million, accounted for 24% of the European green tea market value.
Well, so with green, I mean, I would say matcha is definitely by far one of the biggest things trend-wise that we've seen in the last really 5 to 10 years. Having come from Starbucks, obviously matcha was a very important beverage and category for us. But even just around, you know, my local area, I'm in Seattle, so it's nice because we get to see a lot of the kind of initial openings of either Tokyo-based, Taiwan-based, even Hong Kong-based tea shops open up. A lot of their U.S. locations kind of originate here. And so you get to see what they're promoting, what's doing well. I think, you know, matcha has been on a tear. I think it's a 9.5% or almost 10% annual growth rate projected over the next few years, which definitely outpaces tea as a whole. What I think is interesting, though, about matcha and why I think it's been so successful is it really does address kind of all the factors that different consumer groups are interested in. You obviously have the health and wellness element, right? It looks healthy. It tastes healthy. It does have some more kind of immediate benefits that you can feel, whether that's from the energy or the L-theanine. But also, you know, the visual element, right? It's dynamic. It looks good. It's something unique that shows up well in photography and on social media. And I think the third is the cultural exploration piece. I think that's a huge other trend that we see a kind of cross tea, maybe less on the botanicals, but definitely with tea, is people are looking to almost have an experience, have an adventure in the products that they consume. They do it with food. They do it with different cuisines. They do the same with tea. And I think tea is actually an amazing vehicle for that, right? You can tap into centuries, if not more, of culture by having one cup of tea or going to a tea ceremony or a tea house. And I think matcha is fantastic at that, right? I mean, obviously you could go the full blown tea ceremony route, but it's also something you can throw in a smoothie bottle and, you know, take to the gym with you if you wanted to. And so I think it allows people to dip a toe into one of the oldest and kind of, you know, one of my favorite tea cultures in the world, while also doing something that is, you know, pretty interesting, hip, I guess, you might say, but also that is good for you, that can be a real energy supplement. One thing that I have seen in some of the research is the importance of kind of energy management, really that kind of clean energy approach. I think it's almost like 45% of Gen Z customers report, you know, drinking tea for that particular reason. And so that doesn't necessarily mean it has to come from black tea or green tea. It could be yerba mate. It could be green tea extract, you know, putting in energy drinks and, you know, this kind of wave of more health forward natural energy drinks, a lot of which are using tea extract, at least as their base for caffeine. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people view tea as kind of that natural alternative to Red Bull or all the other energy drinks that are on the market. And, you know, matcha obviously does the same.
Your comments raise an interesting question about format. In 2009, Starbucks introduced $1 a tube via instant coffee, now a $1.8 billion brand. The pre-mix market for tea was worth $1.98 billion globally in 2023, growing at a rate of 7.25%. In North America, this category, mainly used to make iced tea, generates approximately $465 million annually. From a retail perspective, will you discuss the significance of convenience and the advantages of teas that can be easily tossed into a water bottle or diluted one-to-one from concentrate?
I mean, I think convenience is king, right? I mean, I think there's always going to be that 5-ish% of the consumer base that is willing to really geek out on something, get the tea wares, go through the actual formal kind of ritual and preparation. I think the vast majority, if you look at just the marketplace out there, people are looking for convenience. They're looking for something that's easy, something that's consistent, replicable. You know, powders, solubles, stick packs, definitely, I think, accomplish that aim. I'm a firm proponent of loose leaf tea. I think it's, you know, kind of tea in its ideal form, but it's been a challenge, right? Just kind of getting the American customer open to trying loose leaf tea. And so I guess I want to try to demystify tea as a whole, right? And make it something that does seem truly kind of easy and approachable. With matcha, you get to kind of bypass the brewing step and the equipment necessary in some instances, right? And whether that is, you know, a stick pack or a teaspoon out of a tin. I think when it comes to the soluble, though, I guess I know it is growing. I know it is popular, but I think it's actually growing at the same pace as loose leaf tea. It's definitely starting at a higher benchmark. So I saw some data couple of years ago, but it was basically kind of comparing instant tea as kind of this next big thing. I'll be honest, I've heard that for the last 15 years as well. And so, yeah, you know, I don't know when it will ever actually, or if it will actually ever break through. I don't know. Or is it one of those things where it's just always going to appeal to, you know, 15% of the market who is looking for the most convenient delivery method? I think the farther you get away from leaves in a cup of hot water, whether that's ground or in loose leaf or in some other cut size, I think you're losing a little bit about what tea is and the kind of experiential piece that a lot of people love about it. And it's not purely for taste or function. A lot of it is, you know, that moment of sitting down, brewing up a pot, whether alone or with somebody else. Like it's that experience itself that I think is so part of the enjoyment of it, that do you just miss that by going to these super convenient formats?
Yeah. Let's talk briefly about botanicals. That's trending as well.
This is probably where most of my interest and kind of personal experience come in. So, you know, I started with Teavana originally, and obviously they skewed very heavily towards the fruit and herbal infusions. So many customers aren't familiar or know the difference even between an herbal tisane and a flavored green tea or a flavored black tea. And so, you know, for me, it's like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, right? I mean, you got thousands of different ingredients, whether it's very health focused, you know, functional herbs to fruits of every color, type, cut size, processing method. I mean, there's so many options out there. That's why I honestly love working with Wollenhaupt. I was a customer before I worked here, as you know, buying their blends. And just being able to kind of open that pantry up and create whatever you can imagine, whether it's inspiration from a cocktail or a dessert or some, exotic food or fruit or something that you see at a grocery store or a farmer's market. Like, you can then create a blend around that, and it allows you to, explore different flavor combinations, different visual aspects, aromas. I can kind of geek out on this stuff, and I think it's really fun just to create something unique. And again, like, the possibilities are endless. I think with tea, and especially when you add in herbals, fruits, tisanes, the options are endless. And so, yeah, definitely see it as a trend. It just allows people more expression, more variety, energy level, health and wellness, functional benefits. It's, again, kind of an endless runway.
Over the 25 years since you first began distributing tea samples at the mall, the overall quality in the specialty segment has improved, resulting in better margins, enhanced brand differentiation, increased loyalty and retention, and a closer alignment with ethical and sustainable practices.
Yeah, and one thing I will say, which I think is definitely a good thing, is that there is just an overall kind of move towards premiumization. I think that comes with education and just awareness, right? I'm bullish on tea as a product, whether that's RTD, whether that's premium loose tea in a retail shop or a grocer. I think overall there is a move towards more health and wellness. Tea has ubiquitous buy-in from, every age group, every, demographic out there, that it's good for you. And it's got, centuries of history to back that up. So I think, the future is very bright for tea. I think it will definitely evolve, as we, constantly see, and whether that's, through preferences or different formats or flavor profiles, I think all that will happen. I'm pretty confident that there will be, sort of a renaissance around quality, education, awareness. I see it in my own personal circles where, 10 years ago, I'd tell people I worked for a tea company, and it'd be like, okay. And now all of a sudden, I get asked, 10 questions about it, because, people tell me all the time, like, oh, I've stopped drinking coffee and now I only drink tea. Like, I probably hear that 3 times a week nowadays. One of my favorite parts about this role with Wollenhaupt is getting to meet brand owners, right? People that are entrepreneurs that have started a tea company because they either, saw a business opportunity or just love tea and wanted to make it their full-time gig. And so being able to work with them and stay somewhat connected to the customer and what the trends are has been really awesome. I'd say from a global standpoint, obviously, the current trade situation is a factor that everyone is concerned about. And there's just a ton of uncertainty right now. I think that's the biggest obstacle right now, is just nobody wants to make any significant moves because you don't know what it's going to be in a week, a month, 6 months, a year. And so it will take time for that to obviously play itself out and for people to figure out the right next steps for them to take, especially as a producer or an exporter. I think, there will be some creative supply chains that emerge out of this. I think, certain types of tea and, especially high grade, high quality Chinese origin teas will be affected. And I think that's unfortunate. I don't think it's not fair. It's not something that, they're competing with a domestic market of tea production in the United States. And so, my personal hope is that, we continue to kind of see exemptions and stuff come out, and tea maybe being one of those. But I do think in general, people are very committed to their tea. It's one of the highest, ritualistic, purchases that people make. And once they're, established in the habit of brewing and drinking tea, they stick with it.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of Tea Biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the Tea Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
If If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.